Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN. Powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. Sitting to my right, Ed Maher with the NCO. Good morning, Ed.
I'm your right-hand man, is what you're saying.
Yes, always. And my left-hand man is sitting to my left, Phil Davidson from MACRC, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Ken and Ed.
How's it going?
I'm good.
You were gone last week.
Over here in left-hand land.
Where were you?
Last week I was here. That would have been you who was gone.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, that's...
You're trying to gaslight me?
That's a little projection.
I guess so.
That's right. That is true.
That is true. Sorry. My bad.
At least someone pays attention around here, guys.
Do you know who's not here with us this week?
Who's that?
Chuck Norris.
Oh.
We lost a legend.
Rest in peace.
Booing Chuck Norris? Booing my joke?
It's just booing the fact that he's dead.
I know.
Rest in power.
Seemed like a good dude.
You know, I've heard theories, though, that Chuck Norris actually died like 20 years ago. Death was just too scared to come and get him.
Good
heard
one.
That one. Yes.
Yeah.
When he was born, his mom drove him home from the hospital. Or no, when he was born, he drove his mom home.
This is the plight of Phil's comedy career.
Fix that.
Every night, the boogeyman used to check his closet for Chuck Norris.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Enough with the Chuck Norris jokes.
That's some good ones.
Yeah. That was internet peak right there back about 20
years
ago.
But he did seem like a good dude. I have to make what I would consider a public service announcement.
Okay.
There is a new scam going on right now. And it's crazy.
Gotcha, didn't it?
No, but it almost got my son.
Oh.
He texted me, and he's like, I'm from Philadelphia, and he said, is this real? It came from a 708 area code, and it's literally a screenshot of what looks like a judgment against you. Like, you have been found guilty of traffic violation, Cook County, here's the case number, boom, 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 you got to go here, and then go here to pay, and of course that is a QR code. And it really, really looks real.
Come on. And
it's crazy. So I've seen now.
No, I would never look at that in a million years.
It looks crazy real. And so I said, listen, nobody's texting you that it's a scam. But now I've started to see it all over the internet. And you got to figure that there's some elderly folks out there or somebody
that just doesn't understand.
It really does look real, and it's crazy, so don't fall for that new scam.
Especially our vulnerable seniors.
I got one from
your
Verizon.
Your 20-something son should probably know that was a total scam.
He thought it was actually like one of us playing a joke on him.
That I can see.
And I'm like, no, it wasn't. This is a scam.
That's a good idea, though. We should set up something like that to play on him.
But it comes from your own area code.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, you know, his area code's still whatever it is, but he lives in Philly.
Yeah.
And so they make it look like, and it says Circuit Court of Cook County.
Yeah.
It'll be wherever you live. And it's just, it's really.
He's like, Dad, do you know this Nigerian prince who's asking me for money?
I mean, but they're getting less and less obvious,
yeah,
right?
No,
that they're scams.
No, they're really good now. Yeah.
You know, so just be careful. If anybody asks you for money, you know, over the internet or over the phone, you know, your bank, none of it's real.
The police officer pulls you over and says you were speeding and they're a cop.
Yeah. Obviously.
Nice try.
Obviously, you weren't speeding.
Just keep going. That's not a real cop.
Especially the undercover ones. Well, where's the lights on your car?
Yeah. Fake news. I'm getting out of here.
I got pulled over by one of those. He came to
by
the
a fake cop.
No, by an undercover cop.
Oh.
And he and I had been racing. I was like, oh, this guy wants to race. This is awesome. So I raced him for a while, and then he pulled me over. I'm like, that's ridiculously unfair. And you've been driving erratically. And so I yelled at him. And he's like, wait,
he's
you're
like,
yelling
okay, at me. Well, yep, here's your $500 ticket, by the way.
For sure.
Didn't you get 3 speeding tickets in one day?
I said, yes, I did. Personal best.
Yeah, at least
you
just sort of locked you up.
It was during COVID. And they gave me, I took my son to college, gave him my car, and they gave me like a Dodge Hellcat or something to drive home because nobody was renting cars. They're like, pick any car you want. And I picked that one, and got 3 tickets on the way home.
Nice.
Like one in each state. See?
Did you happen to organize any of the prosecuting attorneys in some municipalities that maybe
we had prosecutors in Rock Island or something, I think.
Rock Island, yes.
So you could speed away in Rock Island.
Yeah, you could drive out of Rock Island as fast as you want.
Phil, we also represented every single employee in Mercer County,
Illinois.
Every single one. And on Christmas, they were all off, including the sheriffs.
Yeah.
So had I lived not 3 hours away, I would have driven to Mercer County and flew around Mercer County 100 miles an hour every Christmas because nobody was working.
Naked?
Well, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yes, Phil. Obviously. All right, listen. Take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some real news, some somber news, if you will, and then a bunch of other stuff that's going on in the labor movement at the moment, right here on The Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic, right here on 720 WGN. So, let's talk some unfortunate news, and that is Cesar Chavez, right? Iconic labor leader.
Formerly iconic.
Yeah, formerly, now infamous, formerly famous, was just, I guess, there was an article in the New York Times, an expose done.
5-year investigation.
Wow, that long.
Yeah.
So not like, you know, just like people throwing, you know, stuff against the wall, but that he was grooming children, you know, basically had sex with underage girls, as well as, you know, forced himself on other people, had children out of wedlock, the whole thing.
And he was the co-founder of United Farm Workers, or Farm Workers United.
Yeah, United Farm Workers.
Right.
And just sort of an iconic figure way back in the day for, you know, their rights and led marches, and they had a 1,000-mile march. And,
yeah.
You know, just like a really, really...
There's streets named after him.
There's holidays named after him in California.
In the process,
there was a national holiday here the other day. And so, you know, look, here's a day. Here's the thing, in my opinion. Number one, a very brave woman finally came out. Her name is Dolores Huerta.
The co-founder with him.
Correct.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
who's in her 90s now, right?
Right.
And then some others came out as well, and they really, you know, the New York Times laid it out, and they did their due diligence. I believe them, of course. And, you know, we have to immediately scrub his name from the annals of history.
Yeah.
And as well we should. And I think the difference, you know, I'm going to make the difference here between labor workers and the rest of the country at the moment, or at least part of the rest of the country, is the fact that as soon as we found this out, you know, there are statements put out by labor, by, you know, Bobby Ryder put out something really, really well done by the CFL. And labor immediately said, no pass.
It doesn't matter who you are.
It doesn't matter who you are.
What party you're in, anything.
Yeah, you get no pass on that. Right? Yeah. And we don't want to be associated with that. And it's terrible. And, you know, meanwhile, you know, you have the other side with, you know, the Epstein files and all this kind of stuff where nothing's happening.
No.
I mean, it's just... It's abysmal.
They're still not releasing the full files.
And there can be no quarter for this, right? They just can't be. And it's shocking to me. Like,
I guess there's a statue of him at Fresno State, I believe.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, that makes sense.
That's already been covered up.
Good.
And
good.
Now they're going to change everything that was Cesar Chavez Day to United Farm Workers Day.
Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, you have to scrub them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
From the annals of history.
It's, yeah.
If you read the story, and I don't know if it's certainly not for anyone who's squeamish, but it's
right.
It's truly
horrific,
disgusting.
Yeah,
and horrific what he was doing to young girls.
Yeah. So
monster.
Anyway,
shame on. Give him the shame on you, Ken.
Cesar Chavez. Shame on you.
Consult with our local grammarian.
Grammarian. So we got that, and. Moving on from there, in more local news, there is a lockout going on right now. You don't see a lot of lockouts.
That's for sure.
Right? So it's a BP refinery in, where is it, Whiting?
Whiting. It's an enormous, enormous refinery.
In Indiana.
Yeah.
Right? They, and about 800?
Yeah, steel workers.
800 steel workers work there.
It's one of the largest refineries in America. It was originally built back in like, or it was retrofitted. It was like a $10 billion project back in like 2010 when they were bringing in all the heavy crude from Canada, the oil sands.
Yeah.
But just an enormous facility. And these workers, their contract expired, I want to say, at the end of January. Negotiations haven't been moving. But, I mean, we're talking, what, 3 months, 2 months? And BP decides to lock them out.
Yeah. That
meaning they can't come to work.
Right. There's a difference between a strike and a lockout. A strike, the workers don't come in, and in a lockout, the company closes the gates, doesn't let them come in, there's no contract. But of all times to do this, when gas is, or oil is trading at, what, $110 a barrel?
No, it's up to $120.
Yeah, and this is what BP, I mean, never miss an opportunity, I guess.
More than $4 a gallon on average.
But I don't understand BP's thought process. Is somehow the rise in oil prices going to force the workers to take a lesser deal? I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I also think, like you said, if you're going to lock somebody out after 3 months, that's an aggressive move.
Right. I mean,
you're going to lock out a union after 3 months of negotiations?
You've got union workers all over the country whose contracts expire, and they continue to work for, you know, a couple months or a year or 2 years. Look at the firefighters here in Chicago.
4 years.
Yeah. Right? They didn't get locked out. They didn't strike. Right. You know, the timing just seems really unfortunate on this one.
So I'm guessing the CEO of BP is at the refinery right now, getting his hands dirty?
I think he might be golfing.
Oh, okay. Got it.
He's actually golfing on his yacht that has a golf course on his yacht.
Oh.
That's how big it is, Phil.
So who's performing the work?
Nobody.
What work?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I think they're like putting out a minimal amount of whatever.
Okay.
But nobody. And so, you know, look, like you said, Ed, when you go on strike, you make a conscious decision like, hey, I've saved up some money. I saved my overtime. You know that a strike might be imminent. So you've made preparations for it, right? I might have to get childcare. I know I'm going to be on the picket line, et cetera. But when a company forces you out of work, like literally locks the gate and says, you can't come to work. Number one, it usually takes you by surprise. Right, John Deere famously just shut the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, it really is a way to squeeze you economically. Mm-hmm. And you know, look, all's fair, I guess. Right now, I think that BP has the upper hand because it's, you know, BP versus 800 people.
We'll find out, I guess.
I guess we will. But the of course, the concept is to force them to take a lesser deal, right?
Yeah,
and so. Well, hopefully they stay strong, you know.
What was the contention?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. No, we don't know yet. It was the news was fairly limited on actual details.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody from Steelworkers wants to call in or let us know, we would certainly be happy to listen to that. And in that same kind of vein, did you read about Major League Baseball umpires?
NFL.
Sorry, NFL, you're right. NFL refs,
yes.
Are thinking about striking. And the NFL immediately went out and said, hey, everybody, there might be some temporary jobs open.
Yes.
Right?
And they can only go to like small program college referees, I believe, right? Because I think maybe the college refs have their own union, but they're going to have to find
a better idea.
Scab refs.
What?
Let's play NFL games with no referees.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah, no more fair catches, no more late hits, taunting, unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh,
it would be like what we always wanted the XFL to be, but it never actually came through.
You're saying just like unfettered football.
Prison ball.
Yes.
Let's play like straight up prison football.
Isn't that what they play?
Our bloodthirsty country would love that, that's for sure.
Our bloodthirsty country would love that. Isn't that what they play in like England and whatever? Or Ireland, though they play like a different version of football where it's just like they don't even wear helmets.
Rugby?
It's called rugby.
No,
yeah.
There's like a something football, right? There is.
There's like Australian rules.
Football.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's tougher and the guys seem like a lot more macho.
If you go back into history into like the teens, like the 19, like the aughts or the teens or the 20s, people used to die playing college football all the time.
Is that right?
The newspapers would have lists of players that died in football games.
I did not know that.
Because they would basically just do what the Mighty Ducks did with like the flying V.
Yeah.
And they'd have like one guy holding the ball. And I watched a documentary on it a couple of like a month ago. And it used to be a real deadly sport. So let's get rid of these. Let's get rid of the refs for a little while. Just see how it goes.
Yeah. First of all, that's a terrible idea. And second of all, we're supposed to be on the side of the refs. It's the workers' mic here.
I'm on the side of entertainment at the moment, but right after entertainment comes the refs.
Okay.
I'm not siding with the league,
and
right?
I got to go back to, and I'm going to say this again, I'll say it 200,000 times, to the NFLPA right now. That's the National Football League Players Association, the union that represents the players, that if they simply have a legitimate picket line clause in their contract, and the refs went on strike, they would play no games. No games. End of discussion. They'd be, we're not crossing the picket line. And that's it. So put that clause in your contract and give your refs a little bit of a boost.
That's assuming the players support the refs. You never know what these players, you know. Could have been a bad call here and there over the years.
Offensive players support the refs. Defensive players right. want no refs.
Right. Well, let's take the personality and the fact that they're doing their job out of the equation.
Did you see one of the NFL... ARI, is it? The Referees Association? Whoever their their union is, said one of their points was, if you bring in these scab refs, they're going to be more susceptible to gambling and fixing the games because they're not getting paid the wages that, you know, our union refs make.
And whoa.
So, yeah, they're going to be more susceptible to price fixing and shaving.
It would be kind of funny to see, like, what kind of cartoonish plays they would miss. You know, like, there'd be, like, a fumble, and they're just like, nope, didn't see it.
This happened recently, right?
They'd be like WWF referees, where they're, like, yelling at the crowd, and somebody comes in and hits them with a chair. I didn't see it.
Fumble. Touchdown.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it happened, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago or something. There was, like, a temporary lockout, and then they brought in somebody, and they were bad.
Hey Phil, the umpires in baseball, they struck.
Yep.
And they had like I think it was like basically they struck and then they offered to come back to work and players I'm sorry the MLB said like no sorry and they messed something terribly up in their contract and they got decimated
yeah.
So you got to be really careful about what you're doing, make sure you lawyer up and get some solidarity from the players, you know, find a way players to support these folks, because even though you might disagree with one of their calls, they're still out there doing their job.
Yeah.
So along those same lines, in terms of sports, we're happy to report that the WNBA, Players Association, and the league reached a deal. And,
you're welcome, players.
Again.
We've been covering this a lot on the Workers'
Mic. I don't know what do you know what the terms of the deal were?
All I know is the ground has been set for the first $1 million player
in
the WNBA.
That's awesome.
Good.
Right?
Fine. Yeah, and I think the max contract before was like $200,000.
Yeah.
And that's for the best player in the WNBA.
Yeah.
For Caitlin Clark.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's good to see finally, you know, these players get recognized, but let's put it this way. But for the fact of them organizing.
Absolutely.
They'd be getting nothing.
Nothing.
Literally.
No.
They'd be sleeping four to a hotel room. You know, garbage conditions, et cetera. And it was the same thing, by the way, with the players, the Major League Baseball and all.
For sure, all of them.
Everybody.
It all starts somewhere.
They
right.
all had to unionize
right.
to get their fair share. It wasn't like, I read a great book about the MLBPA way back in the day and what they had to struggle to get their players paid.
Yeah.
And it worked. Collective bargaining
I know.
Simply works.
They didn't make a lot of money in the 70s.
No.
Pro baseball players.
Yeah, I think it was just like they were just starting to
It was just starting
them.
To yeah, take
with
off
like
a
the
bit.
Reggie Jacksons of the world
yeah.
and things like that. But before that, I mean they were struggling.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, kudos to them, kudos to the unions, and you know, let's see, you know, like we had the Soccer Players Association on, and now there's NHL, like let's see all of these players, minor league, what do you call it? Like not minor league, but when like a local community has its own baseball team,
like a semi-pro,
semi-pro things like that,
independent
right?
league.
Yeah, they should unionize too.
Yeah,
right. Just like get your fair share, even if it's something as simple as let's just split the tickets, right?
Yeah,
the gate or something like that, right? Let's not kill the golden
minor
goose.
League baseball especially needs a better deal.
I think that's right.
They get hammered. Like I remember at one point, like single A pro baseball players.
Yeah.
We're making like $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah, you can't live on that.
No.
Right. So anyway, listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. So, we joked about our barely legal segment, and I have one. You ready? So, listen, Amazon, right? And I love the fact that it's Amazon. They got banged for forcing people to take a COVID test and not pay them. So back in COVID, Amazon said, you want to come to work today? You got to take a COVID test, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it takes to do the swab and get your test. And, you know, some folks sued and said, you have to pay me. And they said, well, there's a regulation under federal law that says we don't. And I think that's accurate. But these folks are smart. And they went to the Illinois Supreme Court and said, what about Illinois laws? Does that exempt them from paying us? And the Supreme Court came back and said, no, good. It doesn't. And it looks like they're going to have to go back to court and figure it out. But they got to win. And how do you like that? So
that's great.
And poor Amazon.
Like, what? Like, would they have to leave the job site, or how did...
I assume if you were tested positive, yes, you would have to leave the job site.
Got it.
But suppose, like, look, Phil, there's always been this argument, right, of, it's called donning and doffing. Like, do you get paid for, you know, coming to work and then putting on your uniform and then going out to the fire truck or to whatever it is that you're doing? Should you be paid for that time? Or do you have to show up in uniform? Or do you just show up 10 minutes early, put on your uniform, and then go to work?
It's kind of like the flight attendants.
It's 110%
right. They don't get paid until the flight takes off.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a whole body of law around this. Mm-hmm. But these folks here were smart enough to figure out, like, wait a second, it might be covered under federal, but what about state? And so that was a win. And that's our barely legal for today.
Hey.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Great segment, yes.
Thank you so much. I almost sounded like a lawyer.
And yeah,
barely. Hey-o.
That's why it's called barely legal.
I know. I figured that was why it was called barely legal.
So let's pivot here. A couple of nights ago, on Thursday night, I believe it was, there was a council meeting for the city of Joliet. And the issue was whether the city was going to approve the building of one of these massive data centers.
Massive.
And when I say massive... bigger than Central Park.
It'll consume the amount of electricity generated by the Hoover Dam.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so listen,
$20 billion project.
800 acres.
800. Can you imagine that?
It's a big one.
It's a big one. And how many jobs? Thousands.
Yeah, they were talking 7,000 to 10,000 construction jobs and then like 1,000 permanent jobs.
And then if you have been following this, we've been...
24 buildings.
I mean, it's awesome, right? 24 buildings.
24 buildings.
And it's going to take... It'll take some time and, you know, hopefully there'll be a PLA and things like that. But it's work. It's construction work, right? It's building work. And as far as, you know, residents being concerned about utilities and prices going up and things like that, that's where these companies have to come in and build infrastructure. They have to build utilities, right? Well, and which then would create more jobs.
And this data center, I think they have something in their proposed with, you know, in their development that they wouldn't have a freeze on electric rates and water rates, because that's the beef with so many of these early on, is that their rates would be frozen, but the cost of electricity goes up. So, like, taxpayers would have to pay more, so this place could pay less. And as they've gotten more and more opposition, these data centers are like, we're going to be incredibly profitable. We can pay the rates.
Great.
And I think that's the case with this Joliet.
It's good.
One. Yeah.
So I don't know what the opposition was, to be honest with you, but I know that a few
days... Not in my backyard.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And so a few days prior to that, there was a board meeting, and... smartly, I don't know who figured this out, but smartly, they just almost like filibustered, right? Mm-hmm. So the board meeting, you know, started at night, and then was it Monday night?
Yeah.
And then it went past midnight, so they couldn't actually, because they didn't have it.
Because it was on election day. You can't take a vote on election day.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So they really ended up like messing with themselves, and then Labor got wind of it that there was going to be another board meeting, and that was Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the board meeting started
4:30. I want to say
4:30. So what did Labor do? Smartly, and a lot of 150 brothers and sisters were there.
And electricians, I think bricklayers too.
Yeah, a lot of the trades, but that live in the area.
Packed the room.
They packed the room an hour and a half, 2 hours early.
There was an overflow room. They packed the overflow room. So that was sort of a story.
So the residents that wanted to speak out against it were so angry that they couldn't get into the room, into the building, et cetera. And it's like, hey.
If you're early, you're on time. And if you're on time, you're late.
You should have showed up early, right? Yeah. And they got this to
Of course.
They gave their speech, right? Everybody let them speak. And
Board voted 8-1 to approve it. And what they were doing was they were allowing a private landowner to sell their land.
Yeah.
That's all this thing was over.
Was this before the full city council, or was this planning and zoning?
Yes, city council.
Okay. Yeah, 8-1. And so that's a big deal for us.
And Joliet was going to get a ton of revenue out of this. Like, I was looking at the numbers, and I think it's like $1 billion over like 15 years or something like that they're going to get just on property taxes and then all this other development around it. So
$2 billion.
$2 billion.
Really? So good. Like,
the numbers keep getting bigger. Can I get a three? Can I get a three, Ken?
All right, $3 billion.
$3 billion.
But here,
can I get a guess on number of jobs?
We just said, I think like 7,000 to 10,000.
Yeah.
We did that already. Phil,
I was just double checking.
Can we get some coffee in here for Phil?
I was just double checking, making sure you're paying attention.
Phil's too worried about his bracket. So anyway, so that's a good news, and that's win. And I think it's when labor gets together, flexes its muscles politically, and pushes a city council to, like you said, it's the city council simply letting a private entity do a deal with another private entity. Like, they shouldn't get in the way of it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, of course, there are zoning issues and things like that that they have every right in the world to regulate. But at the end of the day, if everybody wants it, it creates jobs.
Yeah.
And like you said, Phil, if it's $2 billion in revenue to Joliet, what does that do for the residents? It might actually lower their taxes.
Yeah,
maybe it makes makes their houses more profitable because people that might want to work there can move over to that neighborhood.
Right.
Right? Like, what's – I don't know.
Do we love – the energy consumption? Do we love the water consumption that goes along with data centers? No, obviously not.
You've got to figure that out.
But the fact is, they're here to stay, and you're competing against cities and towns across the country who also will welcome them in with open arms because of all the tax it could generate and the jobs it will create. So, look, I mean, again, like with what's up with what is happening with our economy, with our society, if there's an opportunity to create jobs, you got to go for it.
Here's a question. I really and honestly don't know the answer.
A job created is something we should all embrace.
All the time.
Really?
No question.
A job created for a human is something we should embrace.
A human. So that's where I'm going with this.
Phil, literally.
Why Phil litters all the time.
Exactly.
He's just trying to get his town to.
I'm a job creator.
Yeah. Somebody's got to clean that up. And if there's nobody to do it, they're going to hire someone if he litters enough.
I will tell you this. If I eat at McDonald's, I refuse to clean my own table.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Please clean up after yourself. Well, I don't work here.
Mm-hmm.
You clean up. Remember back in the day, there used to be people that would walk around and clean up your table.
That's right.
There really were.
Yeah.
And McDonald's figured out a way to get rid of that and give you a tray and send you over to the garbage can. You clean up.
Now they want to give you
ketchup. Ken also does that at home when he has dinner. Refuses to clean up after himself. It's socially responsible.
I just want to keep Rachel employed.
That's right.
That's it.
Payroll.
I want to keep her busy.
You notice how McDonald's, they won't even give you access to ketchup anymore. You have to ask them for ketchup packets.
Everything's so cheap.
I know. It's napkins, everything. I'm like, can I get one more, please? Yes.
One, please.
Yes. Can I have one more cup of porridge, please?
May I have another, please?
Yeah, there's a cost schedule for extra sauces. They have it on the window at the McDonald's by my house.
Insane.
It's like, are you serious?
25 cents or something like that.
You get
one free. If you get more than 10 nuggets, you get two free.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And it tells you how many cents it costs because they're not, there's no free lunch. There's no free sauce.
Unbelievable.
That it really is.
They have to squeeze every single nickel out of every single thing.
The answer is yes.
I guess so. Do we have time to talk about this Jeff Bezos thing?
100%.
All right. So you mentioned it off the air. I've been reading about it as well. And Jeff Bezos has secretly, very quietly, created like $100 billion fund.
Correct.
To go around not just America, but the world and buy manufacturing plants. You know why? Not because he wants to get into manufacturing business.
So he can fill them with robots?
Correct. Mm. So that he can retrofit them and fully automate them and fire everybody and have robots replace them. So buying them all for $100 billion. And then probably, selling them for $500 billion with no employees.
He's turning into a Bond villain, this guy.
He really is.
It is amazing to me.
This is exactly what we talk about, though, with like Andrew Yang and the minimum income and stuff. Because if you're...
Universal basic income.
Yeah, one of the richest people on the planet is looking for opportunities to buy factories where the people can most easily be replaced, get them out of there, replace them with machines so he can make more money off of it. Like, this is not the right way to look at people. And I think, I'm just going to say this, I'm not a doctor, but I think Jeff Bezos might be addicted to money. All right? Because why else are you doing this?
You might be onto something. Right.
Addicted to money.
Because how are you supposed to make ends meet with only $300 billion?
Well, I mean,
he's got bills to pay.
Who's going
to
take care of these people? I think Jeff Bezos should take care of these people.
I think, first of all, he should be forced to, and that was Andrew Yang's his platform, which is great. You want driverless trucks? Great. Put these people out of work. That's fine. You take all that money and you pay them to stay home.
That's why he's building these spaceships and flying to Mars. Like, he's going to have to live there. Like, everyone on
Earth. We're not going to want him here.
No one on Earth is going to want him.
That's why he has 14 yachts. Exactly. You don't know which one he's on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like the presidential motorcade. You're not sure which one he's in. So, and hey, by the way, he's not the only one doing it. Tesla guy's doing it. Yeah. A bunch of other people are doing it. Ben Affleck.
No.
Yes.
No.
Ben Affleck secretly started a $600 million AI platform to automate movies.
Oh,
Ben Affleck. Come on, man.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did.
I thought all he wanted was to get drunk and be left alone.
And gamble.
Yeah, well, I guess here's your answer.
J-Lo's ex? That Ben Affleck?
J-Lo's ex, I think, twice.
Yes. Yes, he started secretly started a company that is going to use AI to make movie making more efficient, which is a code word for firing everybody.
Yeah, where they've dabbled in AI for like taking foreign movies and playing them in English, and they make the mouth move. Yes. It doesn't look right,
and it shouldn't.
No,
and it isn't.
Right,
right. Get it. Either learn the language, or watch it with subtitles.
I mean, take some of the great performances in TV, movies, music, even. They don't come from just somebody thinking up interesting words or thinking up, like, it's an art. These people are special, and you can't create that in a lab. But if they can, I'm terrified.
But you can in a factory, right? You can make a widget with a robot instead of paying a human being to do it. So
that's true.
You know, terrible, absolutely terrible.
One last thing, and then we got to take a quick break. But I don't know if you saw this. The New York Times reported last week that to sort of deal with the problems with staffing agriculture work in the South.
Yes.
The president has found a solution.
Oh, excellent.
Wait, what's he going to do?
Bring in migrant workers.
Oh.
He is he's making it easier for these production organizations to get H-2A visas to bring in migrant workers.
Hold on. Time out.
Yes, that's
Americans aren't clamoring to take on these...
Picking strawberries? No.
What?
No, it turns out they're not.
Wait a second. I thought they were taking our jobs.
It's sort of what... Well, they took them, and then we took them back, but nobody wanted them, so we're giving them back, apparently. In one of the great I-told-you-so moments of American modern history, I think, it turns out that immigrant workers are very necessary for the American economy, unless you don't feel like eating fruit or food.
I wonder how many
food anymore.
Yeah,
I wonder how many will come back who were deported by ICE.
I'm telling you,
who are probably going to come back and be like, "All right, can I come back now?"
You know what? If they were smart, they'd all say, "No, thank you."
Did you guys get your photo op?
Yeah.
Cool. You get your AKs out. All right, great. Oh, anyways, can I go back to work now?
Yeah. No, thank you.
Fun ICE fact though that was reported on Friday in the New York Times. The president has a close friend. I forget what his name was, but he was going through a custody battle with the mother of his child, who was a Brazilian native. And he asked ICE to look into it, and she was ultimately investigated and deported. Being close to the president, he got a favor from ICE, got his baby mama deported back to Brazil.
That is diabolical.
That is. I mean, that's divorce to the nth degree.
Yeah, huh? Let's take it easy. Just let's just slow things down here.
What's
little
in the
fella.
Best interest of the children? I think it's deporting your mom,
right? Yeah.
Oof,
I guess money gets you access.
That's rough.
Well, we know it'll buy you a pardon. So yeah,
that's for sure. That is rough.
It is.
All right,
we've got to take a break.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we're going to wrap up the show on a NCAA tournament weekend here on the Workers' Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. We got a couple minutes wrapping up. Super quick, Jerome Powell, what did he say? Now, he's the Fed chair.
He is the Fed chair.
And
he's
still, he's still deposed.
Courts have been shutting down the investigation, shutting down the subpoenas. You know, courts, I think, are realizing that this was just a bunch of nonsense.
But when's he supposed to be out, though?
I think he's out, I don't know, sometime soon. Yeah, his term expires. They've got the next guy all lined up.
Did you see, like, Trump wants, like, corporations not to have to report quarterly anymore?
Oh, yeah.
They only have to report their earnings twice a year.
Yeah, especially if it's bad. You know, if it's good, just report them, and then there's no fact-checking.
If it's bad, just don't even bring it up.
But Jerome Powell said, what did he say about jobs?
He said that there is currently near zero job growth, job creation in the United States, which is something that hasn't really occurred before.
Ever.
Which goes back to my point about the data centers. Like, we need jobs.
Listen, anywhere we get them, we'll take them. There's no question about it.
We need someone to get over and clean up Ken's kitchen at around dinner time.
That job is taken.
He's very messy.
And it doesn't pay well.
No benefits.
But, come on, like, you know, where are all the manufacturing jobs? You know, canceling these green energy things is stupid. I read that, I don't know, 400 to 600 people just moved to Canada in the health industry because Canada it's been soliciting hard. It's like, look, you know, things are not going well in your country. Come on up here. We treat you right. We have socialized medicine. You know, we pay well. The cost of living is not like it is in the United States. And we treat our workers with dignity and respect and have 35%, 38% in some provinces, union density. Come on up. And, like, I forget where it was, but there was an article about 400 to 600 people moved up to a province in Canada to work in the healthcare industry.
I might be able to go.
Too cold.
I think I might have dual citizenship.
For Canada?
Yeah. My grandpa was from there.
Won't all those DUIs keep you out of Canada, though?
Hold on a second. Phil?
Well, that's why I have a fake passport, Ed.
Phil, will you marry me?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
I think Canada, all be my best friend.
Canada recognizes thruples.
That right?
Yeah, they're very progressive on the thruples.
Very. Oh, Phil's already married.
Since
the thruple.
Always a bridesmaid again.
A quadruple.
I'll just stay here where we have sunshine.
Oh, you want to hear some good news?
Yes.
Sure.
All right. National Coalition of Labor good news.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Right?
Best news.
Yeah, just this past week, we got word that three unions in California, Operating Engineers Local 39, 3, and 501, are giving the National Coalition of Labor their entire public sector.
What?
So it's about 18,000 members with the potential of about 20,000, 25,000, something like that.
Yep.
So they have some free rider issues and things like that. And so it came and said, hey, let's try and use this to clean these folks up. And so they're joining the coalition.
But just the public sector.
Right now, just the public sector. I'm hoping, obviously, that the private sector will come.
Okay.
And that will be, you know, another 50 or 60,000 members. So really big. And then we tried to go to New Jersey the other day, but literally because of this, like, crazy storms here and the rain and the fog and then the snow and then the ice. It was just nuts and all the plane cancellations. We physically just couldn't get there. So we ended up doing it via Zoom to 8,000 members in all of New Jersey and five counties in New York, IUE Local 825. So they're joining. So now we're officially on the coasts. You know, we're close to getting the whole lower 48 into this thing.
Yeah.
Right? At least having members in each one of these. So
when are we going to Canada? Become the international.
Well, funny you should say that. I got shot down on that.
The answer to your question, Phil, is never.
Yes.
Not no way, not no how.
Womp, womp, womp.
So we could still call ourselves the ICL, right?
We could call ourselves whatever we want.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Listen, next week. Because we didn't get to it this week, there's been some developments in Starbucks, which I still think is interesting. I'm praying that, you know, there's been some movement, and et cetera. So we'll talk about that next week. And then we also got to talk. We got to circle back to mental health. If you have a problem out there, and you know, because we've recently had some bad news come across our desk. If you got a problem, you're depressed. Maybe it's the medicine you're taking. You know how they always say, like, if you have suicidal thoughts, whatever, right? There's got to be some of that there, too. But if you
I would like to say Ken is not a doctor.
I am not. But if you got a problem, you know, pick up the phone, call one of the brothers or sisters, call 988, right? You know, but I think that there's a world in which the building trades here in Chicagoland are going to have to step up and open up a peer support system.
Yeah.
Right? I just think it has to happen.
Everybody's looking for solutions on this. Yeah,
there's no question about it. The problem is huge. So anyway, that is my spiel here at the end. That's it. We will be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of The Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.